Now, the interesting thing about this is in all of my life, I now became a married man. I was no longer a single man. I never was ever used the term single, but I was married, and I will be married. So that terminology changes. No longer do I look at myself, or do people look at myself, or did people look at myself that I was single, but now I'm married. And so we become married men and women. There was a change. And in that change, a new title, a new lifestyle was given to me. And I was no longer ever again to be considered a single man. Now, that doesn't say that there's times in my life that I've tried to live like a single man. And I know nobody else has ever done that as the men in our congregation. And you've been here, but that I could never return to that singleness. I was and am a married man. New identity. The old identity is gone. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning for a while as we prepare ourselves for communion. That there is given to us by God's word something that Jesus has done, and that we can be refreshed in it, we can be encouraged in it, or maybe if you've never heard this for the first time, it would be like water to a thirsty person. And I'm looking at this in the context of saying, as I was single and became married, and a new identity was given to me, then there is the same kind of thing that happens to us as Christians. Happens to us when we become believers. And that it's hard to picture that, because I'm going to read to you from passages in the Word of God out of Romans that show us why we struggle with this reason that in Christ alone, there is something that will happen to us and we will become a new person. We will become a new person. In God's Word, we read in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to skip around and bless Rose's heart if she can hang in there. If she can't, it's my fault. But in the fifth chapter, I want to refer to some passages before we actually zoom in on a couple verses. I'm going to start reading, and you just listen or follow in your Bibles to in the fifth chapter of Corinthians, number 2, Corinthians. For we know that the earthly tent we live in is destroyed. If the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a builder, a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we are found to be different. He says that we have something that's been given to us, that we are a eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And verse 5, we jump to, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God. For the very purpose of what? But prior to the what? God has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. The new person is affected by Christ, is changed. God gives the Holy Spirit into a person's life at conversion as a deposit guaranteeing of what is to come. The question we want to think about for a little bit this morning is, what is to come? What is to come? And he says in the next verse that therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. Now, we can all say that, But we want to focus that in on something. Connect us, we live by faith and not by sight. Connect us to the same concept that we're going to look at as I was single and now I'm married. In a moment of time, standing there with my bride-to-be who was single, we became married. When we look at this, we live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. There's some more coming that kind of helps us get a hold of what this is trying to challenge us to do. And he goes on into that eighth verse, I'm confident, and I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, but here he comes. So we make it our goal to please him. We make it our goal to please him. Now verse 11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. Now Paul's going to start talking about him and his relationship to people and what they think. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. Ah. He says to them, I want you to have pride in me. But the pride that you have is not about what you see. It's about your heart. And that's what I want you to think about. What happens to my heart? What is this about? Is this about anything? Does this have any bearing on me, really? And how do the communion elements fit into this perspective for us? The key thing to realize is, Paul said, you look at me all the time. And this is what we do with each other. We look at each other and we see what we look like, our height, our colors, our whatever it is. We look at people and we make evaluations based on what we see. That's a common thing. That's a natural, normal thing that we do. Our evaluations are what's seen by our own eyes or what's our experience. But Paul says something that I want you to be able to realize something. You are not to look at me with what you see, but you're to look at me with what you know. Ah, and what is it that we're to know? Because it is the hardest thing to not evaluate everybody by the things we see, isn't it? I know what that's like. The attitudes we can create, the feelings that we have, the judgments, whatever it is, we look at this and we make a decision. And he says, I want you to know something. And that as we take these elements of communion this morning, it's to remind us, to challenge us, to open our eyes even further, that he wants you and me to understand something about you and me, about you individually when you've invited Christ into your life and made him the Savior and Lord of your life, and you gave yourself to him, something happened. Now, the tendency that we have when we think about this is what happens is we now live a life of forgiveness. We live day by day living in a forgiveness of God. We know we're his, and so we find ourselves failing, and so we ask God to forgive us. And we go through this scenario over and over and over in our lives. That is part of it, but that's not the part of it. He doesn't do in us what we're going to read in a moment just so that we can go around all the rest of our lives dealing with him as a forgiving God, which he is. That's not the main point. There is something far deeper and far greater. You are not just who you were to walk around forgiven, but you are a different person. And we read this here. And he says, verse 14, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that the one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all. All. Not a few. For all. That was a hard issue that the Jerusalem church faced, the Jews, when they became Christians. That Christ died for them. He died for the Jews. But the whole thing was the challenging and the move of God to bring them into a place where they saw that it was for all. His death was for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Okay? You know, I know I'm supposed to live for Christ. I understand that. But from now on, we are to regard no one who has come to Christ, who has received Christ, this is the context, a worldly point of view. He says, now think about this. You and I are not to look at each other as from a worldly point of view. I still see you. I still hear you. I still experience things with you. They may be good, they may be bad, they may be whatever it is. But from that, I do not evaluate who you are based on all of that or who I am, but something more. He says, once we regarded Christ in this way, we don't do this any longer. Therefore, if anyone, verse 17, is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gives us the ministry of reconciliation. I want to read these verses just in a different little translation. It's a new translation that's come out called The Passion. And I want to read these few verses to you. And he said, it's talking about how in our relationship, this is where it comes from in this verse. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, and I kept thinking, what's enfolded mean? Well, I don't know if this is exactly right, but I remember when Cindy makes meringue for tops of pies. There's a process that you go that you don't just stir it. You fold it together. You carefully blend it. And it says, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, that's about their conversion, he has become an entirely new creation. Do you believe that about yourself? Or do you believe everything else, that what you see and what you experience and what you hear contradicts all of that? That you're a mess, you're successful, you're a failure, you're whatever. You feel condemned, you feel whatever. But he says here that when you are enfolded into Christ, you have become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Now this goes back to the place that says, remember, we are a tent. And in this tent, something is changing. And what has changed is when you come to Christ, the person that is in you, in that tent, prior to Christ, dies. I don't get all this, but it is what it says. And a new creation is built. Not just a reformed or restoration, but a new creation. You are made new inside. You are a new person, a new creation in Christ. This fits into what the communion is all about. But it says, the old has vanished and everything is fresh and new. He's talking about what's in you. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of the transgressions, and he has entrusted to us a ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you in Christ's behalf. Turn to God. Turn back to God. Be reconciled to him. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with Him. He says that you and I had no idea what it was to be righteous. You could strive to be it. It's a whole issue of what you become, what you're like as a person, to be a holy person, to use these terms, but to say, you know, you had no idea what that really was like. You maybe tried to do that, and there's people that try to do that, but he says, no, you don't really know what it's like. He says, but you can become righteous in God's sight through your union with Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of God through our union with Him. Not you will be, not you hope you will be, not you think maybe you do better now or you feel better. It's, notice what he's saying. He's starting with something very important about us, and that's what this is about. Because when Jesus said, man, I'm going to do something here with you today, and we're going to make a change in what we're eating. I'm going to take this bread, and I want you to know this bread is going to be my body that's broken for you. And this cup is my blood that's being poured out for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to do something that no one in ever history has done or ever could do, but I can. And that is, I am going to go to a moment of time, and I am going to die on a cross, broken body, shed blood, and in that place, what I'm doing and what I'm going through, God is putting all the sin of the world on me, and that I will take it, and I will take all that punishment. There is no longer any punishment now to be meted out to anyone who comes to Christ. He took it all of it, all of it, on Him. And so whenever we do this, we do it in what? Remembrance of Him. What about? The remembrance of Him is that He did something. He died on the cross. He paid a price that in Him we can come to. When we come to Christ and receive Jesus, there's a miracle takes place. We call it a new birth or being born again. That's language that is hard to understand. You know, there was a great theologian, priest that said, yeah, born again, what do? Go back into my mother's womb? No, I don't go back to my mother's womb. How do I do this? See, there's something that has taken place in you when you come to Christ. You don't see it. You don't necessarily feel it. That's why His word's telling you something. That when you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit was put in you as a deposit. It's not somebody you receive later. It's not somebody that waits till you get wherever you are. The Holy Spirit comes to be with you. Now we need to live by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being under the power of the Spirit. But the key is He gives you the Holy Spirit. And why as a deposit? Because what He's doing at that point is He is changing your very nature. Who you are before you became a Christian is now dead inside. God no longer relates to you or looks at you like that. I may look at me like that. You may look at me like that. But He doesn't. He wants you and me to know that He has made you a new creation. What does this include? From man's point of view, Christ was a blasphemer and a false teacher. Yet when we see Him through the eyes of faith, we view Him as the pure and holy one, God's Son. This verse 17 is about our identity, the old identity, our life of sin, the life of living under the power of Satan, the religious works that we tried to do to please God, our old relationship with the world, and our old mindsets. We are not reformed or to be simply refurbished. We are made completely new by our union with Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Behold, a new order has come. When I said we live in a context with God that we're walking around forgiveness, failure, forgiveness, failure, forgiveness, failure, we will fail. That's absolutely Paul. Paul says, how does this all fit? Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. There's a song that was made popular by a gospel group that I esteem deeply. And the song says, we are just sinners saved by grace. That's wrong. We're not just sinners. We're new creations in Christ. And you're saved by grace and you're a new person. Oh yes, you will fail. Paul says, I'm still going to fail. Man, I could fail more than any of you fail. But he says, there's something I want you to know. I am a new creation. I am a new person. God looks at me now differently. Differently than you all look at each other. Look differently than you all look at the world. He now looks at you as a new creation. Can you get your mind around that? If you have a hard time with it, try. Ask God to help you to come to grips with this in your life. Because when you get it, and you get it, there's now no condemnation. When you get it, there is no one who's going to point the finger at you and say, you're not good enough. When you get it, you can stop looking at other people as believers and say, well, this is what, oh, look at that person. I should be like them. I should pray more. I should do this more. Oh, that person's a real saint. They pray. They memorized almost the whole Bible. I need to get like that. I need to be like that. How can you be like something when you already are? What he wants us to understand is it's not what we were. It's what we are now, right now, today. And the minute you opened your heart to Jesus, and the minute you received Christ into your life, you became a new creation. The miracle took place. And when that miracle was taking place, at that point it says, he has changed you and me. So when we look at each other, he's trying to challenge us, boy, you know, how do we look at each other with that idea in mind? And he tells us there's only one way, through love. Love doesn't minimize wrong. Love doesn't say, well, it's okay to do that when God tells us it's not okay. Love doesn't mean the Ten Commandments do not teach value anymore. He does teach value. He wants us to know, but he wants you to know something, that there has been born into your life out of God's love, a change in you, a new creation. Who you were before Christ is dead. That's why Peter's name was changed, to make a point. Paul's name was changed, to make a point. Others' names were changed, to make a point. They're new. Now, don't go around changing your name this week and start coming up with new names that you think you should be. No, that's not what we do. We just want to think about this. And when you take these elements here in a few minutes, I want to encourage you to think about this. I want you to ask this question. Number one, have I ever received Christ into my life? Have I personally believed in Jesus to be my Savior and Lord? And I prayed, Lord, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. And I want you to come into my life and save me. And at that point, he takes and gives you a new identity. When I walked into that altar with Cindy, I went there as a single man, and I walked away as a married man. When you come to Christ, you came to Christ a sinner, destined for hell. And when Christ comes into your life, the power of the Holy Spirit works, and you become a new creation. You come out different. Different. Think about yourself differently. Don't think you're not single anymore. You're new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old, what's it say? Is dead. Dead. Dead in God's eyes. If that's true, and it is, why do we have such a hard time with it? Because we want to live in a fact that we earn our relationship to God. And we keep our relationship with God good. It says, he said, I want to live to please him. Why? Not to get more brownie points, not to get, you know, more from him because I'm doing certain things right and I'm pleasing him. No, I just am so grateful that what I have inside of me, that I realize I am a new creation in Christ. You may be here this morning and you never heard this in your whole life as a believer. And you may have heard it, and you've heard it preached because we've done it here at this church, but it hasn't sunk in. It didn't take root. And so you still walk around, up and down, back and forth, in and out, struggling everything about who you are as a Christian, wondering, worrying, dealing with this, looking at your life and saying, this is a Christian? This is me? How can I do these things? Because you still have a tent that's on your life, that you live in. A tent that doesn't justify it, but a tent that is the flesh that someday will go. That's why Paul says we can't wait till we can take our heavenly dwelling, this, to our earth, to our earthly dwelling in here, this heaven, to heaven with our new dwelling. Because when we get to heaven, there will be no body like this. We'll be given a resurrected body, a miraculous new body in Christ that'll be there, not at all like here. Until then, we struggle. This is a struggle. And that's why I believe, I always tell the guys, don't use that term, I believe. That's why I'm committed to the fact that you do this and says, I can do this as often as I want. It's not a one-time-a-year deal. It's not four times a year. I could do this as often as I desire to do it. Why? In remembrance of him. Because what am I remembering? Not just what he did on the cross, which is what he did, but what is accomplished on the cross. And that is, there is now accomplished in Christ a miraculous ability for God to work in us. And when Christ comes into our lives, we become a new creation. And that point on, you are looked at by God as the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Think about this. Can you believe it? Can you walk in it? You're restored to a friendship with God. And now you have the ability to take a message to the world. Let's pray. Father, as we been getting ready here all this service to take these elements, Lord, I just want to ask you that you bless them. Bless them in a way that's not just some trite thing, but bless them as we're doing this here this morning. The light of reality, the light of revelation explodes inside of us, maybe for the very first time, but maybe for the as that's been there, but it just brightens and lightens up brighter and brighter and brighter and reminds us that we are a new creation. We are. Help us to see that. But Lord, your word is true. Your word has never failed. Your word is perfect. It has no mistakes. You are God that does not lie. It is not within your very being to be a liar. So therefore, when you tell us this, this isn't just a maybe, a hope. This is a truth about me. Dennis Andrew, I am a new creation in Christ. That old person that was there inside, into the heart, in the very being of who I am, has been recreated. Lord, help us to just live in that joy. Help us to live in that peace that can come. Because I know that you've told us that when we live our lives, we're going to face trials and tribulations. We're going to face temptations by the enemy. And it says, and when we have done all, just stand. What do I stand on, Lord? I stand on the fact that I am a new creation in Christ. The old is dead. It's dead. And the new is here in me. Thank you. And so as we take these elements, bless them to our bodies and our minds that we can have more than ever encouraged to be. Encouraged that we are different. My life is now no longer mine, but yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. And as the servers come to serve this morning, I just want to make I want to invite you. This is not a membership thing. This is not, you have to be a member of Grace Community Fellowship to participate. What this is this is a table of the Lord, and we invite you to come to take the elements today. If you've been here for the very first time and you're with us, but you're a born again, you're a believer, and you love Christ, Jesus is your Savior, please take part of this and listen. This is going to go against some people's grain. But where did you ever come up with the fact that you're unworthy to take the elements of communion? You just weren't good enough this week. You didn't pray enough all week. You didn't get that crap dealt with in your life. You're a new creation. He didn't say sit around and don't receive this. He said receive this as what? To remind us that we are new in Christ. And that's a fact that's eternal, starting in your conversion and going through the rest of your life. You may play games with God, but he never played games with you. You may fiddle around with your phones and everything else that's in your life and get into social media and do all those things. And you may go into a world that's, who knows what that's about, but he never has changed in you. And even in your rebellion, you've been made a new creation in Christ. Yes. That's how good he is. And so we're going to take these elements and we'll pass them to you. And please feel free to take these. And you know, if you have never taken communion and this is the first time you heard the gospel, I'm going to pause a minute and I'm going to say that all you need to do is pray. That what you can do is pray and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I know that. I'm convicted of this. I want your love. I want your life. And so I ask you, Lord, to come into my life. Jesus, become my Savior and my Lord. And even right now, here in these moments, you are making me a very, very new creation. If you pray that, you just got saved. And you partake of this. So let's bless these elements. Paul, would you please bless this bread that we're about to take?